One, two, three, four. Welcome back, Rin. It's episode 113. You got Cody and Chris today. Let's talk poetry.
The Spoils of Akron, the Spoils of Akron podcast.
Welcome to the Spoils of Akron podcast, your Akron podcast featuring the best people, places, things, eccentric residents, art, and culture of the Rubber City.
The Rubber City. Good job, Chris.
This is the second time I still screwed it up. All right.
We gave him a redo and he still
Yeah, we got a redo.
Right. It's okay.
Chris Sorry. couldn't do. So Cody, happy belated birthday.
Thank you, Chris. You just had a birthday recently. I did.
Hope you celebrated accordingly.
I totally celebrated accordingly.
So you're like able to drink alcohol now.
I know. Can you believe it? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm 24.
He used to ask me to get it for him.
I'm almost 1/8 of Chris Miller's age.
You are close.
Almost.
Hey, you know, each year is a badge of honor for me.
It is.
So, speaking of poetry, as Cody mentioned in our intro song today, we have two very special guests who are helping to facilitate a great cultural experience for us here in Akron. We have Amber Cullen and Pumpkin. Welcome to the podcast, ladies.
Thank you.
Welcome.
So Amber really did a lot of work in bringing a fantastic poet, a Samoan slam poet who's known pretty much all over the world, William Giles. And the event is called Until Name Becomes Prayer. And during his visit, he's going to lead some writing workshops, some open mics, some poetry, you know, open poetry readings, and this signature event, which will be on Monday, February 26th, and it's going to feature an all-star lineup of local artists, of local cultural leaders, people who are going to get us stirred up and talking about some necessary things and helping to bring more voice to our indigenous community in this country and people who were here long before us white folks. And their mouths will definitely have a lot to say and a lot to learn from. So Amber, tell me a little bit about why, what inspired you to make this all happen? Because you're pretty much the point person behind raising money, behind promotions. You know, you've put a lot of work into this. What inspired all of that?
Yeah, so it's a long story for me actually of why I care. I grew up in Akron. And it wasn't until I did a program in Philadelphia called Mission Year, and one of my teammates is actually Pacific Islander, that I learned a lot about what it was to be essentially like white. Like, what did it mean? Like, colonization was a word I learned during that year in Mission Year. And just hearing his perspectives as an Indigenous man really challenged a lot of my worldviews and beliefs. And in that process, I learned... I just learned a lot about myself, and I learned a lot about the world around me, and there was a lot of repenting and a lot of just like, oh, this isn't okay. This was never okay. And in my journey to seek right and good, it's led me to this space where when Will, his artist page came up on my Facebook feed, it was a sponsored ad, and he said, hey, I'm looking for spaces to perform across the mainland. He's from Hawaii. He's like, does anyone want me? Like, do you want me on a stage? And I messaged him and said, hey, like, would you ever come to Akron, Ohio? Like, I didn't think he would say yes. Mm-hmm. We're Akron and he's from Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, like, why would you say yes to a tiny town? But he said yes. And so then it was a process of figuring out, okay, how do we make this possible? Like, where does he perform? Who's going to come? Like, why would people come? What does it mean? Who cares? What does it, like, tons of questions. And so that's been the journey the last 4 months. It's only been until, it's from October until now. And so, yeah, I'm really excited for this event. And it's not just me at this point. It's a lot of us. There's a whole community making this thing happen, a collective people.
And part of planning a successful event is relying on others to kind of shoulder the load of all this work. And you did a really good job of assembling a team. You know, under the umbrella of the Akronist, I know I've been offering some marketing assistance and trying to get some of the stories out. And we're publishing artist profiles, which you can find right now on akronist.com. We only have two of them, but we're going to post a number of them over the next few weeks. And one of the things that sticks out to me and is, I think, poignant about this visit from Will is the tagline, which is taken from his words, in homage to every indigenous and immigrant mouth that had to become a history book. Because unfortunately, a lot of us learn about indigenous people through a history book written by, you know, most likely written by a middle-aged white guy, and not hearing the actual, you know, stories of the culture and the things that really bring indigenous cultures to life. And I feel like for so long, we haven't listened to these indigenous voices. And Pumpkin, who's here with us too, and she's one of the supporting artists of this event. Pumpkin, you're Native American and you're from New Mexico, you told me earlier. And tell me a little bit about your opinions on do Westerners listen to these indigenous voices? How are they listening more now? Have they ever listened?
Our history has always been a spoken history, passed down from generation to generation. We actually had ways of putting our words together, but we just didn't write it down. We had a way of counting. We had a way of talking about a tree, but not that tree, because there's another tree. But that tree was old, not young, and not a seedling. So we actually had a structure to our language, which when the invaders came, they didn't recognize that we had language, that we had a culture, that we had a people. And so our history in my tribe, Taos Pueblo, my grandfather's 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 grandfathers were the history historians and the spiritual leaders of my tribe. So that history was passed on through our bloodline, specific through our bloodline. And so a lot of that history I have retained, but I'm only going to tell my children because it's important to them. So in a way, our culture was preserved and spoken, but no one else wanted to hear it because it wasn't important to them. You know, if we conveyed anything to anybody about how we work the earth along with Mother Earth, how we follow the sun, how we follow the moon, how we followed all that stuff, it wasn't listened to. So our history was spoken and it was not listened to. Our history exists through pottery, through the existing walls that are still in your fields where you plowed them over. It's still in the bones that you have plowed over, that you've built your concrete jungles. And that is where you're not listening. You're not listening to Mother Earth, who has preserved our history. And that's what is going on right now, because we're telling everyone, embrace what Mother Earth has to give. Don't rape and take what you shouldn't, because we talk about, you know, the creatures or the monsters or the things that were before us, and we shouldn't bother with it because they've been put to rest. So in our native way, we don't think you should be bothering below her skin. So I'm talking about oil and gas but she still offers the sun, you know, she still has the communication and we still have the use of the sun, you know. So those are the things that encompasses from the past to the now to the future. And in our own way, we learned how to use what we need and not be greedy for what we don't need. And so there's a lot of stuff of this earth that's speaking to you. That's, she spoke to us and we listened. So that's where I'm coming from, is that the conquerors came without listening. The conquerors came with their own mindset. And I think with our native people, we flow with the earth and the waters and the sky and this and the breeze. And we've had to adapt. We've accepted what is given us in this world. But we still cling to what we know that Mother Earth gives us. So, no, you don't listen.
I believe you, and I think that's very true. You know, the fact that indigenous peoples could live for thousands of years with harmony, and in just in hundreds of years, Westerners have thrown that off balance, and it's apparent in climate change and in, you know, I used to see, I covered local news for local newspapers, and I would see wetlands being destroyed from developments, and you would have these arguments with developers and the EPA and saying, well, we'll just remediate the wetlands. We'll just put some, you know, we'll make a little pond in this corner of the field. And that's not how that works. Like, I think there's some short-sightedness about how delicate some of these systems are and how they kind of rely on, you know, intricate parts that we definitely throw off balance. I will say to the favor of Akron, you know, we have recently, City Council recently approved First Peoples Day. Is it, Amber, what's the official name for that?
I actually don't know, Chris. I'm sorry.
Okay. We wrote about it.
First People.
But it's
one of those.
It's honoring, you know, Native Americans, the first people here, and it's going to be in October. And I know Amber, you led that charge as well. So you definitely, well, I mean, you earlier in the year,
yeah,
it made City Council aware of the need for that, or mm-hmm. with the group. So
what I actually would like to see Akron do,
ooh, all right,
is tell Cleveland to stop using the name Indians,
right?
Because where in Ohio is there an actual recognized Indian tribe? Tell me.
I don't know.
Federally, there is no recognized Indian tribe in the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So to call yourselves, you know, the tribe,
right,
and Indians, and then using the caricature of the red face, mm-hmm. Indian, I'm
right.
using quotes,
mm-hmm.
is unfair to me, mm-hmm. as a native. I grew up being called a Pueblo Indian all my life. But then when you look at what Columbus did when he came to the New Americas, and they say he was lost, that narrative too is wrong. Because when he came and then he started writing about the native peoples, he called them en Dios, meaning with God. So he referred to the natives who were in the area where he landed. Can't quite remember what they called it. Havana, I think it was in the Havana area. When he came there, he called, he referred to them as being peaceful, giving people. And you know what? We've always pretty much been like that. So for you to call yourselves Indians, you're really referring to yourself as a religion.
Hmm.
Think about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And well, I mean, the steps are being taken. So Wahoo's been taken off the uniforms, at least. But you're right. The name's still there. And people, I don't like the excuse of we've always done that or it's tradition. Because yeah. there are a lot of things that were tradition that were just downright shameful. So that's not really a good argument for that. What do you think, Cody?
No, I completely agree. And it's, you know, I'm sitting here listening to you talk about this, and I think it's easy for us as white people to forget that, you know, Indians were here for so much longer before we were, because we we're grown up and taught in our history books are changed to reflect what our ancestors want us to think.
Yep.
And that's so sad to me, you know, to sit here and sit here and listen to and I'm sorry, to hear what it actually was like, you know. And so while obviously the sins of our ancestors are unforgivable and they've done things that clearly we have no place defending, do you see a change at all, at least in this city, in the way that people are thinking about different things, about thinking about that culture that was here before us? Do you see that people are thinking differently about it? Do you think that at all?
Well, I really believe that if you take the idea of using the mascot and the name Indians out of the political arena, it is not a political thing to talk about. It is talking about a people being demoralized. As a people, we're of a culture of people. You are a culture of people. I always ask people when they come up to me, what nation are you from? And a lot of times, many of you say, oh, I'm white. No, that's not a culture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a culture of people.
Right.
And when I say I am Taos Pueblo, Taos, New Mexico, Taos, I really should be saying I am of the Red Willow people. Because you call us Indians because a man started with Indios and then started calling us Indians. And then the narrative said that he was lost. We are nations of people. It's not a politics of what this whole thing is. And you need to get out of the politics of it and see that it is actual a racist narrative. And that's what I'm not seeing a lot of people recognizing. They need to recognize that this is a type of racism. And, you know, when you leave Akron, Cleveland, Ohio, and you watch the games in another state, they want to make fun of you. You are made fun of outside Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true.
But when you're in Ohio and you're glad about using the word Indians and using that caricature, you're proud of it. You need to get out of that. You need to be proud of what you have in Cleveland. You have this wonderful rock and roll thing. You have this wonderful manufacturing thing. You have this this really good white-black relationship. I would like to see more other cultures. And you do have all those cultures. They're being brought out. I believe, you know, you have these wonderful ways of bringing these beautiful things, but it needs to happen more on a continual basis. What I'm meaning is bringing this beautiful man to bring his poetry to Akron, bringing me, you know, acknowledging that I am here, acknowledging all the other natives who are here, all the other indigenous peoples who are here. Those are the things we need to see, but take it out of the politics and recognize it as being racist.
Right, right. And when I try to think of politics and how they play in our culture, and my allegiance is not to any particular party, it's to people, you know. So I think of it from a people perspective. Like I wish we'd come up with like the, you know, the human being party.
Wouldn't
so
that be great, Chris?
It would be very common sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working on my agenda right now. So
yes,
Pumpkin,
President Chris.
Right. Will be a third party.
Yeah.
Pumpkin, what do you think about Will's poetry and what drew you to participate? Because will you be featuring some of your pottery?
I will be demonstrating my pottery.
Oh, great.
I will have my clays. I work with two types of clays from Mother Earth. And until name becomes prayer, also fits in with the way I work. In our native way, before we leave the house, we have our cornmeal. We leave the house to go dig our clay. We have to pray to Mother Earth and say thank you. We have to put ourselves into prayer all the time. And so when I make my pottery, and this is my form of, you know, making a living. So when I make my pottery, it is made with prayer. So the idea of him coming and believing his word is prayer, and my idea follows along, and his idea follows along with our native voice and way and being and spirituality, really means a lot to me. And artists are beautiful people. You know, if it weren't for art, we wouldn't have all these things. I mean, it takes a graphic artist to create, it takes an artist to create the idea of the mechanism of something going, you know, like a car going across the road. You know, the wheel isn't a piece of art, you know, so you got to think along that line. Prayer and creativity and spirituality, artists are that. And then when we met our first meeting, we were all artists, and we all had, when we found out who we were working for, it was just this collective artist spirit happened, and we were like, let's do it, let's bring this young man. And we're not hearing enough of our youth. I'm all for the youth voice. I'm not going to knock any of our youth down, because our youth is our future. And we have to look at that. The old men in, you know, wherever, they have to listen to us. They have to listen to the women. They have to listen to the children. The idea of seven generations is very, very important to us. You know, we're doing things for the seventh generation. We're talking, it's true. It really, really happens within us.
I'm sorry, before you go on, can you explain a little bit what you mean by seventh generation? I don't know if I missed it, but do you just mean like keeping things good for the future generations, or is there a specific?
Well, when I create my pottery, my pottery was taught to me by my mother, who was taught to her by her mother, her mother, her mother, her mother, her mother. The seventh generation before me already created the idea that I continue with in pottery.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm doing now is going to continue down the line with my children, if they have children.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I'm hoping to teach people who can say, well, they learned it from so and so and so and so. So those are the kind of things that I've learned, you know, about seven generation.
Okay.
The idea of creating a law seven generations ago within our Constitution, you know, mm-hmm. still exists today.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. You know, what happens with what we do now? It's going to affect our seventh generation. And that's what our society needs to think about and learn about and remember and think in your mind and ingrain it in your mind what you're going to do, because it's going to affect my seventh generation. It is something that we always talk about. It's just not words. It's an action. It's, you know, an idea. You know, I know for sure that the pottery piece that I created is going to be back, is still going to exist seven generations from now.
Right. And I feel like we are stuck in a rut as a culture of immediate gratification.
Very much.
It
yes.
drives our debts, and some of it's driven by everything being at the touch of a finger. You know, almost all human knowledge we can access through a phone we keep in our pockets. But yet we use it to take pictures of our food and play games and do very frivolous things. And we have such a powerful tool there for enlightening everyone. And I feel like people are just, you know, not really grasping that part of it. And we don't think about seven generations ahead of where we are now. You know, I wish we did. I wish we did do that more. And it's a good message. And again, like I mentioned earlier, you know, that's why these voices are important. You know, these voices were these, you know, folks who were here before we were colonized, before people immigrated and from other countries. And, you know, they're in touch with nature. They have important things to teach everyone.
And actually, everybody can be in touch with nature.
Sure, sure.
The thing that everybody needs to be in touch with is their heart.
Right.
And that's what I'm not seeing enough here. Compassion, heart.
Absolutely.
Get away from your ego. You know, the idea of having a plant in your house is good. You know,
right.
Have a plant in your house. There's a communication there. There is a actual scientific communication of we breathe out CO2 and they bring us back oxygen. So we have as breathing species, entities, we have like a working job here with Mother Earth,
right.
You know. And the idea of prayer, to me, you know, the idea of native prayer, good prayer, prayer for the earth, prayer for the world, prayer for each other, is important. You know, I really believe in the positiveness of getting your heart into doing the right thing. And I feel what I'm doing with this until Nang becomes prayer with Will is going to be beautiful. And it's just a moment in time, but Akron is going to benefit from it.
I think it'll impact a lot of people in a very positive way. Even people who may think they're already already in touch with this experience, you know, I think we'll have a lot to learn, myself included. So Amber, you know, there probably aren't a whole lot of Polynesian natives in Akron. And have you been asked why are you bringing this guy, why are you bringing someone from Hawaii, you know? And I think there's a lot that can be achieved and a lot that can be learned from this. And how have you combated that question or that notion? Or
well, the answer is not very well, Chris. I have been very people have been staring at me a lot with this event. People do not understand why. They don't get it. I'm not expecting or asking for people to get it. I'm just asking for people to show up with open hands and an open heart. I know from my own experience that this experience will speak for itself. I don't need to give voice to things that are already speaking. And so I've just kind of accepted the reality that it's not going to make sense. I will say that in this area, since moving back, I moved back 3 years ago. I did grow up here, had, you know, college, served a while, blah, blah, blah. But Hawaii is very misrepresented here. There's a lot of cultural appropriation. You got your grass skirts, you got your plastic lays. And so that's kind of been my my own journey. And so I know that Will's leadership will really lead us well, and it will open up a lot of conversations for us here. And I'm just asking that people trust that and trust my leadership in that, because it doesn't make sense to many of us, but it makes sense to people, you know, like Pumpkin gets it, you know, there's just some of us who don't get it, and that's okay. Like, some of us do get it, and that's what matters.
Sure. Yeah. And I have no doubt that it's going to be amazing. And so tell us a little bit, Amber, about some of the other folks involved, because I know we weren't able to logistically bring everybody in the room who's taken part in this, but there are a lot of collaborators.
Oh, yeah.
And let's make sure we give them some kudos.
Let's give all the thanks. Yes. So this event is sponsored by Summit Art Space, and it'll be on the third floor. We got lots of room. I'm really excited about that. Who's performing that night? Pumpkin's going to give a blessing. We have Poetry is Life Publishing. That's Jason Blakely. He's the local poet as well. Ace is going to be the MC from Be Me, Akron Be Me community. Gum Dip Theater is bringing a theater piece about, oh my gosh, they just told me this morning, I'm going to misrepresent this, but it's something about Bhutan and Nepal and the crossing of those countries and what that story is and why the refugee situation happened. In that context, the Himalayan Music Academy is bringing a set of five numbers. We also have Hula Fusion, who's going to bring some Polynesian dances and educate about, you know, Polynesian cultures, specifically Hawaiian. And they also, I think they're going to do some Tahitian dances as well. And those are our artistic sponsors. And the ones who made it financially possible, we have South Street Ministries, Sandy Bottom Bowls, Rethinking Race Series at the University of Akron, the Center for Inner Peace, Asia Inc., and also Summit Art Spaces on that list. And the Akronist has also been a huge partner, as well as the Big Love Network is leaving their, essentially their stage up so we can, you know, have a place to perform. So there's just been a lot of people involved, and I'm thankful for each of them and how they've said yes.
Great. Yeah, and we'll mention the Big Love thing when we talk about events. But yeah, it'll be a couple days after the Big Love Festival. And I think they're, well, it's a generational theme. And I think the Seven Generations theme is actually part of Big Love as well. Because those folks, we've had Zach on before, I think a few times. They're really, you know, all about listening to other generations, listening to other voices and the marginalized voices, and they've really brought some of those voices out into the spotlight, and so they continue to do great work, great community building. I think I'm really looking forward to this. And so Monday, February 26th, Summit Art Space. Do people have to go anywhere to buy tickets ahead of time?
Oh, it is just 100% free.
Okay.
If you can find a parking spot, you're good to go.
Decent parking.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Not bad.
Yeah. So just show up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would also recommend attending some of these other events, mm-hmm. like the event at the Exchange House. And he's going to, even though the Rethinking Race will conclude, he's going to do an addendum, right, to that series at the University of Akron, which is also an amazing, I mean, that whole series, in my eyes, does not get enough publicity, does not get enough attention and eyes on it. I mean, they bring in speakers from all over the country, and they have some really engaging discussion. We're talking about young people with a strong voice. Yeah. You know, that's something that I would recommend everyone go to at least one of those sessions. I think it's going on right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, till the 16th. Chris, can I add one more thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
I forgot to add, bring some cash, cards, credit to this event. It is free, but all the artists will be having tables, and like Pumpkin's going to be selling, like, what are you selling?
Some jewelry.
Jewelry. So like there are going to be spaces where it is free, but also support local artists and plug in if you're able to. Like we are making it accessible for a reason because we want everyone to be able to attend, but there's going to be some really cool stuff. Will's going to be selling his chapbooks as well as prints with, I don't know what he's doing. He's got some cool stuff coming. So like, it's just bring some cash on hand just to have. So
yeah, absolutely. And I remember us having that discussion before. You could have charged for tickets, but you'd rather see people take that money and use it to support local art, which I think is amazing. Cause Will's paid for, cause you raised the money for him to come in.
We're set
on that.
This is a loved gift from so many people. So let's keep it that way.
And I do think there's a healing element to art. I really do. Especially to poetry. It taps into a very vulnerable part of us that helps us explore our feelings that we may not be able to articulate otherwise or afraid to address. There's an exhibit at Summit Art Space, Traveling Stanzas, for the Wick Poetry Center in Kent. And are you familiar with the Wick Poetry Center, Pumpkin?
No, I'm afraid not.
They're great. I'd recommend, hopefully, I think it'll still be up during the event, so you have to check that out while you're there. But it's at Kent State, and it's a little house, and they do a lot of poetry workshops. And David Hassler, he works with kids, with senior citizens. He in the community in Akron, he's worked with a lot of refugees, but he basically helps kids articulate their feelings through poetry, and then they visualize it with these great posters. And so at the exhibit, it's a art exhibit, so it's very interactive. You can actually, you know, contribute and write a poem that is collaborative. You can you know, see some of the work of some of these young people visualized with bold graphics and illustrations, and it is a powerful thing to behold. So where can people go to find out more information? There's a Facebook event page, I know.
Yeah, we're kind of trying to cover all the bases. So you can pick up one of the Devil Strips for this month and find an article in there.
Okay.
There's also a Facebook event online. And I think it's on that, oh my gosh, it's like Summit Live 365, right?
Yes. Right.
It's on there. And then we also have flyers all over the city that you'll hopefully see. If not, I didn't do my job. But there should be in the local libraries and such.
Okay. And we'll, when we post this podcast, we'll put a link to the event page. But Monday, February 26th, 7 p.m., Summit Art Space, which is on East Market Street, third floor. Summit Art Space has some great events, and it's a great space for events. So now is the time in our podcast when we're going to talk about some upcoming events. Amber, I know we didn't really talk about your actual life, your day life at South Street Ministries, but I don't know if you have any events coming up that you're involved in other than this that you'd like to plug or talk about.
Oh man, this has been consuming my being.
Sure, I
this
can
is
see.
February. Let me think. Oh, South Street. Well, just come eat at the cafe. We're open 6 to 2. So come eat at the cafe. We got biscuits and gravy. It's phenomenal. 798 Grant Street. Bring your business meetings. Bring your organizations. We got great space. So that'll be my plug. And that's ongoing.
Awesome. And I do appreciate all the work you do in the community, and especially in South Akron. I mean, the Front Porch Cafe, South Street Ministries, has been a total blessing to that neighborhood. And has really impacted so many lives. So, yeah, you should be proud of all
it's
the work you're
space.
Doing, you
really
and Joe both. And how about you, Pumpkin? Any other events coming up you'd like to promote, or where can people find out more about your artwork and what you're all about?
I am honored to be a Kent State Mama for the NASA, NASA, Native American Student Association at Kent State.
Okay.
It's a group of Native students. They'll be having a planned and beautiful powwow in April. And so all the energy and work will be going to make this a big and beautiful event. I've been working my pottery. My clay has to be processed. So I brought clay from New Mexico. So I have boxes of unprocessed clay that my family and I dug up from the reservations. And so I'm lately been processing it. And it's a slow process. It's a long, slow process. And it's hard to work with clay in this cold weather right now. So I haven't been making too much. I have been making jewelry. I have two beautiful girls, one who is a medical student in Arizona, which is quite unusual. We don't have very many Native American in the medical programs. So I'm looking forward to her. I mentor her a lot. I have a 21-year-old back on the reservation. She's reconnecting with family and getting into her cultural background, which she really needed because there's not much here, like I said, in Akron. I help out with LENAC, Lake Erie Native American Council. Right now they are working on dancing, teaching the youth dancing, and I just support the Native American community of women in Cleveland. Here in Akron, there's the Native American Vet Center, and they have some events, and I haven't heard of it lately, but I'm really glad to be part of that, networking with them and keeping in touch with them. So it's just a matter of trying to stick with, you know, my native life, you know, and that's what it pretty much, you know, just more quiet of a person than I get drawn into these beautiful things, and
I
just wholeheartedly put myself into them. And I'm really happy to be part of this. This is an incredible event. It's bringing me out of my shell for a little while, and helping me with my pottery. I will be demonstrating my pottery, and I will be bringing all the materials that are from the reservation. All of it's natural. None of it is out of a process by you know, like a manufactured. It's all from Mother Earth.
Great. Yeah, excellent. And definitely look out for Pumpkin's artwork, your pottery, your jewelry. And is there a website people can go, or you just
no,
look for
I
you
don't...
at a pop-up?
Yeah, you know? Just where I pop up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll come to, come to Until Name Becomes Prayer, and you'll be able to purchase those goods.
Yeah. Well, actually, my family is fairly well-known. They win a lot of awards at the Santa Fe Indian Market. So that's direct cousins, my mom, my aunts, direct relatives. I used to do that in New Mexico. And my name is in 3 published books on Pueblo pottery.
Great. Okay. Well, yeah, we're lucky to have you here. Thank you so much for talking to us today and sharing so much. It was much appreciated. Thank you. So Cody, what have you got?
Let's see. I think we talked about this last week too, but Arts Now is bringing Donna Collins from the Ohio Arts Council here on Thursday. That's at Northside Marketplace from 4 to 5:30, I believe. And I think that tickets are free, but they were asking for reservations just so they had a number of people. So if you go on to the Facebook event, it's on Eventbrite. Also coming up pretty soon is, I'm going to plug this because I heard awesome things about it last weekend. Daybreak's Children by Masu Productions.
Yeah, I second that. I
have only heard great things. I think this is the final weekend coming up, and it's at the Balk Street Theater, and that is February 15th, 16th, and 17th, which is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I believe it's at 8 p.m. each of those days and 2 p.m. also on Sunday. So cool things there. And then, there was one more thing, but I don't know what it was. Nope, that's it. That's all I got. I don't know.
Okay. This Friday, February 16th, is the opening of a new exhibit at the Akron Art Museum called June Kaneko, Blurred Lines. And she does this amazing sculpting. I mean, these giant, ominous faces and heads. I mean, they're like larger than people. So she has this show featuring 5 decades of her ceramic work. So that should be really good. And of course, that'll be running through June. So if you can't make the opening reception on Friday, you'll have a few months to get out there. On the 22nd is the opening of the Akron Art Library, which mentioned last week, and it's going to be it's going to take place at the library. Yeah, you can use your library card, check out fine art to hang in your house. You only borrow it, but that's amazing. I mean, it's going to feature a lot of Northeast Ohio artists, so you'll be able to. It's a program that the art museum is starting in collaboration with the library, so it's basically use a library card, check out art. I mean,
I'm all for
it. I think that's a very innovative idea. And on February 23rd, Friday, is Friday Night Mics, and that's at the Aqueduct. It's a great place for musicians to cut their teeth and get in front of some folks. And I'm skipping back here because I'm just kind of all over the place. Oh, on February 17th, Saturday, the week previous, Electric Pressure Cooker, number 34, Year of the Dog. That's
Year
a really
of the
cool
Dog.
Thing. It's ready. Basically an anything goes open mic. You can read from a play, you can do performance art, you can play music, you can do stand-up comedy, you can just stand there for 12 minutes if you like. They're open to whatever. It's basically anything goes, so any sort of performance that your heart desires. And then, as I mentioned earlier, Saturday, February 24th is Big Love Fest, which will start at 10 a.m. and end at 10 p.m. That's also at Summit Art Space. That's also free. There are going to be dozens, I think, of bands and musicians, and my band will be there.
Will it?
Yes. All right. We'll play at 2:15.
Rocking out with Chris Miller.
Rocking out, yes. Well, it's not my band, but it's the band I'm involved with. But so, and then that'll be followed by Until Name Becomes Prayer, February 26th. So any final words, final thoughts, anything we missed?
I'll throw one more event out. Okay. Sorry, because this is the one that thought I forgot about because Ryan's going to be mad at me if I don't.
Oh, just go with it?
Yeah, just go with it. Next Thursday, February 22nd at 7 p.m. Well, I think doors open at 7. Yeah, doors open at 7. The show's at 8. But they're going to be at the Rialto, which is just an awesome very, very cool venue down in Kenmore. And I think $8 for the show and $13 for the show. And they're teaching a workshop after. So if you ever want to learn how to do improv, they're an awesome group to learn from. Really talented people. So make sure you check that out if you have some free time on Thursday night on the 22nd.
We have a lot of quality theater here. In
we do.
It's booming. I mean, they're... You know, probably, I think we sat down and tried to figure out all the theater groups.
It was,
we got to like
15. It wasn't even possible.
Yeah. We still were missing some.
So good.
So, you know, thanks everyone for tuning in. This is episode 113.
113.
Wow. We've been doing this a long
time. Makes me tired just thinking about it.
Amber and Pumpkin, thank you so much.
Thank
you guys for being on.
Definitely make it out to Until Name Becomes Prayer with Will Giles. Check out some YouTube videos of him if you need some convincing. And you'll be convinced.
For
this
sure.
This guy is the real deal. So thanks so much for joining us. And as always,
keep it an Akron day.